The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
I don't know what kind of relationship you have with your dad or what kind of relationship you have had with your dad. I know what my relationship with my dad growing up was like. I know my dad worked a lot, and so we didn't get to see him a lot like during the day, and we'd see him in the evenings. And my dad used to chase us around the house and play this game called Whiskers, where he would get us and he would like rub our faces against his unshaven face. And then so I was like sandpaper, right? Probably qualify as child abuse today, but anyway, that was just a fun memory I had of my dad, is that he was always engaged with us when he was there. And so I'm a dad myself, and we've had some pretty fun moments, me and my son, over the last few years. Just even this morning, he comes in, jumps into bed with us, and it's kind of funny because he's used to getting up early on school days, right? And so now for some reason, he's like getting up every day early. Doesn't matter what day it is, Saturday, Sunday, this kid like has to be up, right? And so he comes in and it's like 6 o'clock, right? So he jumps on the bed and he's there and just like saying, good morning, and we're still asleep, right? So we're just like, it's not a good morning yet, right? And then finally he jumps out of bed and he like takes off. You know, you can hear him like running into the other part of the house, and so Debbie's like, where are you going? You know, what are you doing? And he's all, this is the time I get up, right? Just like, yeah, this is me. This is when I get up, right? And we're just like, no, this isn't you. This is not when you get up. It's like an hour before when you actually get up. And so it's just been so much fun having moments like that with him. And so we're just cracking up. And of course, it's hard for us to go back to sleep once you've been woken up by a little monster jumping in your bed. But I don't know if you have memories and just these fun moments with your dad as you're growing up, or maybe, and I don't want to downplay the fact that some of us have had a dad that's absent in our lives, and so we haven't been able to build some dad memories. And so for some of you, it might be difficult for you to spend some time really, truly thinking about God as your father and what that means to you. And for some of us, maybe there's painful memories attached to our fathers, and so maybe that's even more difficult, and it's something that you have to kind of feel like, I've got to get over this and get past this in order for me really to truly recognize what it means for God to be my father. So my prayer this morning is that for those of you that have these great memories with your dad, and for those of you that maybe have not had the experience of building memories, and for those of you that maybe have had some hurt, my prayer is that Abba Father would be your father, and that you would just be able to fully embrace everything that we say about God our Father this morning. Because, you know, this is such a privilege that God invites us to be a part of His family. And He is a father like no other father we have. And I hope that's something that comes out this morning as we talk about this. So hashtags are, once again, Abba Father, Identification Remnant Church, and I just encourage you guys to tweet that stuff out there, Instagram, all that, so people know what we're talking about. So as we look at the name Abba Father, I just want to kind of help define a couple things for you and just maybe kind of break it down for us, and then we'll jump into a passage, actually three different passages, and talk about what Abba Father means to us. So you have Abba, which is an Aramaic word. It's a warm, personal term that implies love and trust. It's translated, dearest father. Now, I've heard message after message where people talk about this name, Abba, and they say it's like calling God daddy, that it means daddy. That's not a great translation of the word Abba. Although, I will say this, that Abba is the name that you call your father. And in this culture, in the Greek culture, and the Hebrew culture as well, Abba was the name, the first name that you would call your dad, okay? So as a baby learning to speak, Abba was like the first name that you would give him. But it wasn't just a name that children called their dad. It was a name that extended on through adulthood. So an adult would refer to his or her father as Abba as well. Okay? So it's not just a childlike term for father, but it is a close, intimate, personal term. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so we have Abba and then we have father. The word is a pater in the Greek, and the word means or implies respect and submission to authority. So you have two things going on here. You have Abba, which is this tender, warm, and personal title for God, paired with this respect and this submission to authority. So you have these two names coming together, and that's really what we get when we refer to God as Abba Father. So we'll dig into this a little more and talk about a little bit more about what this means to us as we look at the places where Abba Father is mentioned in the Bible. But three things that I want you to know about Abba Father before we even get started, okay? Because Abba Father is such a unique name. It's only used three places in the Bible, okay? And it's such a unique name for God that he's given us that I want to just draw some things out, some characteristics of the name Abba Father for us, okay? And the first one is this, that it is exclusive. So not everyone has the privilege of calling God by this name. This is an exclusive name because as much as it would probably upset some of us, maybe not so much folks in this room, but probably upset people in general, if I were to say not everybody is God's children, okay? That sounds kind of mean to say that. It sounds exclusive, and the fact is it is exclusive because not everybody has trusted God as their father. Not everybody has placed their faith in God, and those that have placed their faith in God through Jesus Christ are God's children. And so I say this is an exclusive name that God has given permission to those who are his children to use this name. And again, not everybody is God's children. Well, we're all created by God and we're all loved by God, but not every one of us is God's child. Does that make sense? And then it not only is it exclusive, but it's intimate. It's intimate. There's no other name of God that is this personal and up close as Abba Father. Because there's no other place in the Bible where God invites us to use this term that is such an endearing, close, intimate term. Okay? The name that a child would call his dad the first time he's able to speak. Okay? The name that as a child grows up into adulthood that they would continue to refer to their dad because it's an endearing, loving, warm, tender term. And this is a very intimate name for God. And then the third thing that I want you guys to know about it is that it comes highly recommended. I say this for lack of a better term, but what I mean is that Jesus himself calls God the Father by this name, Abba Father. And then the Holy Spirit also is prompting us to call God Abba Father. So it comes highly recommended by two other members of the Godhead, right? By the Son and the Spirit, encouraging us to refer to God as Abba Father. So as I mentioned, there's only three places in the Bible where Abba Father is mentioned. So let's pray and ask that God just opens our hearts to what he has for us, and then we'll jump into these three different scriptures. So, Abba Father, we come to you this morning, first of all, thanking you for the privilege of being invited in to your family. And God, my prayer this morning is that each and every person in this room that can hear my voice, that if they don't already belong to your family, that before they leave this building, that they would accept your invitation to become a part of your family. And I pray, Father, that as we together look at what it means to us to call you Abba Father, I pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts, that our hearts would be open and ready to receive what you have for us, God, and that it would be clear, that it would make perfect sense to us, Father. But then also, God, I pray that as we understand that you're inviting us in to a place where we can call you by this intimate name. God, I pray that we this morning would be drawn in closer to you, that we would recognize that we've been invited in closer, that you're calling us in closer. And God, I pray above all that the words that I speak this morning will be your words. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So there's three places where Abba Father is mentioned. Let's look at Romans 8, 14 through 16. This will be our first passage that we'll look at. It says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you slaves to fear. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Let's look at the second passage. It's in Galatians. Galatians 4, verse 6. "And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father." And then also in Mark, this is the third time it's mentioned in the Bible, Mark 14, 36. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine." You guys recognize who said that? That was a prayer that Jesus prayed when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. At his most painful and emotional moment of his lifetime, he referred to his Father as Abba, Father. So we have these three different places where we're asked to refer to God as Abba, Father. And this morning, my hope is that you really are able to grab onto this idea of what it means to be able to speak to God in such an intimate term, and yet to be able to retain that submission to God's authority, to who he is. I think that we make a couple of mistakes as people that believe in God. I think that sometimes we either become or think of ourselves as being so familiar that God is just like this kind of teddy bear kind of God, where we can just snuggle up to him and he'll give us whatever we want. So we kind of have that image of God. And then there's others of us that have this image of God that he's distant and he's far away and he's so magnificent and big that we could never really get close to him. And I would say that both of those ideas, if that's exclusively how you think of God, both of those ideas are wrong. Because the Bible tells us clearly that God is not a God that's far from us. That God is a God that's near to us. And in fact, when we draw near to God, he draws near to us. But we also know that God is a God that has expectations on our lives. That God has this standard that he set for us. These guidelines that he wants us to follow, that he wants us to live by. Not for his benefit as much as for our benefit, but for his glory. And so we have this authority, this Father authority, but we also have this God that invites us in to a tender, warm relationship with him. So let's look at this first passage. I want to focus in on verse 15. And the first thing that I want you to notice about Abba Father, the first thing that I want you to claim for yourself is that I belong to God. I belong to God. Look what it says in verse 15 of Romans 8. It says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you slaves to fear. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father." So we're introduced to this name, Abba, Father. And we have to understand that this is a name that only a child can refer to the dad as. So if someone was a servant in the home, they didn't have permission to call their master Abba. Okay? They might at times call their master Father, but they didn't have permission to use this intimate, this tender term of Abba. And so it's something that exclusively was given to someone who belonged to the family. And this is what this verse is about. It's about God inviting us in. God's saying, you belong to my family. And there's a couple things that I want to point out to you. First of all, it says that you've not received a spirit that makes you slaves to fear. And this word for fear has this idea of abandonment. So this fear of abandonment. Now, I've noticed something about our youngest son, who's only 9 months old, but I've noticed that when you're in the room, and you don't have to really even be doing something with him necessarily, but when you're in the room, everything's cool. He's good. But the moment you walk out of the room, he starts to get a little nervous. He gets a little anxious, and he starts to fuss. When it's his mom, you know, it's like the moment she just, like, leaves his sight for a second, he just bursts out into tears, right, screaming. But usually if I'm in the room with him and I'm right there in the room, I don't necessarily even have to be interacting with him. But the moment I step away, and at times, even if I, like, head towards, like, the exit of the room, so I head towards the doorway, his face just completely changes. And he just has this sense that he's leaving me. I'm being left behind. And we all have this innate fear in us of abandonment. We all have this desire to not be alone. In fact, when God made creation and he made Adam, he created the first man, you know what God said? He said, something's not right because man is alone. That's the matter of fact, every time he created something during those days of creation, God said, it is good, it is good, it is good. And then when he got to his creation of man, he said, it's not good that man is alone. So we have at the very heart of who we are this fear of abandonment, this fear of being left alone. I remember as a kid going to Disneyland with my family and being on Tom Sawyer's Island and getting separated from my family. Now, I've been to Tom Sawyer's Island, you know, fairly recently. We went to Disneyland just a couple years ago, and Tom Sawyer's Island is not that big. It's a pretty small place. But as a kid who has lost his family, Tom Sawyer's Island might as well have been the biggest, it might as well have been the jungles of the Congo, right, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I felt like I would never see my family again. As a matter of fact, I just kind of gave up, and I went into survival mode. I started, you know, gathering wood and going to build a fire, you know, shelter. I was just like, well, this is my life now. I'm alone forever, right? But as a little kid, I just felt like, man, this is it. I'm gone. I will never see my family again. I literally thought that I would be on Tom Sawyer's Island for the rest of my life. That was what was going through my mind. And this all stems from this fear of abandonment, this fear of being left alone. Parents, have you ever left a child somewhere? Have you ever just taken off and then you're just like, oh, crap. I left my kid somewhere, right? I've heard stories of that. We haven't done that yet, but I've heard stories of that. We have this fear of being left alone. We have this fear of abandonment. And God says that that is a fear that will hold you in slavery. That is a fear that you will be in bondage to for a lifetime until you recognize that when God adopts you into his family, he replaces that fear with his love. He replaces it completely. So this fear of abandonment. Then the second thing I want you to see about this verse, it says we received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. This word adopted is a legal term. It means to legally place into permanent status in a family with all rights and inheritance. Now, this is a very, very big deal, especially in the culture of the time. When someone was adopted into a family, there's a couple things that happened. Not only were they brought into this new family and they had become a permanent member of the family, which means that whatever inheritance was to go to the children of that family, this new adopted child was now a recipient, was now an heir of those things. But it also meant that the past family that this child belonged to, for whatever reason that this child entered into this new family, this child's past was legally erased. He had absolutely no connection with his past family. That's important for us to understand, because when God uses this term of adopting us into his family, we need to understand that God erases our past apart from him. So whatever shameful act, whatever thing that we belong to that was in defiance to God, God says, you no longer belong to that family. You're now a part of my family. I erase that history, and I now give you a brand new story. That's what it means to be adopted as God's own children. And so here, it's very important. When we call God Abba Father, calling God Abba Father is acknowledging that he's transferred your ownership from slavery to fear into a family of love and assurance. That's what you're doing when you're calling God Abba Father. You're recognizing what he's done for you. That he's taken you out of this place of captivity, this fear of abandonment, of being alone, and he's brought you into a place of love and assurance. That's what it means to call God Abba Father. Look what it says in John 1:12. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So here we have in John 1:12, we have this invitation, or we have this direction as to how we can become a part of God's family. How can we become adopted into God's family? And it says that we need to believe and accept. So we need to believe that God is who he says he is, and we need to accept this sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross, because it's only through what Jesus has done for us on the cross that we even have access to the Father at all. And so when we believe and we accept, that adoption process begins, and God brings us into his family. And here's the thing about God's adoption process, okay? Because I know that the legal adoption process is a time-consuming event, and it's something that can be drug out over years. I was just talking to a friend of mine who's been going through this adoption of a child into their family, and it seems to me like it's been 3 years or so. And I had said, hey, did everything get worked out? And he said, no, it's still, things are still up in the air. Things are still crazy about this. And I'm just like, man, that is a long, long process. I know for others it moves along a lot quicker. But understand this, when it comes to God adopting us into his family, it is an instant thing. See, God already loves us. And God has already invited us. His arms are already open wide. And so the moment we put our faith in him, the moment that we trust our heart to him, that adoption becomes instant, and we belong to God's family. We want it to be more difficult than that, right? It's like, there's got to be something else, right? I mean, I've got to do something crazy, like climb a mountain, or I don't know. There's like something, I feel like there's just something more that I have to do besides put my faith and my trust in God. But let me say this, that putting your faith and your trust in God is something that you'll be doing for a lifetime if you belong to God's family. That initial act of believing and accepting, that brings you into God's family. But this idea of putting your faith in God is a continual thing that's going to last you your entire life. Your faith is constantly going to be tested. You're constantly going to be in places where God is asking you once again, put your faith, put your trust in me. Look what it says in Galatians 3:26. It says, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Through faith in Christ Jesus. And I want you guys to understand that this is what sets our faith in God apart from all the other religions that the world has to offer. Because no one else says that in order for you to gain access to God, you have to go through Jesus, his son. But the truth is that without a relationship with Jesus, without accepting Jesus' sacrifice that he made for you, there's no way that you can call God Abba Father. It's impossible. You're not a part of God's family. You have not been adopted into God's family until you acknowledge that you need to let go of your sin and turn to Jesus and accept him. And at that moment, the adoption becomes instant. So if we call God Abba Father, it's because we belong to God. And the second thing that I want you to see, and we're going to look at this, the second passage where Abba Father is used. This is what I want you to claim for yourself, but God's Spirit is in me. When I call God Abba Father, it's because God's Spirit is in me. So let's look at Galatians 4, verse 6. It says, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out Abba Father. Now this is pretty fascinating because in addition to us belonging to God, becoming a part of God's family, God gives us a beautiful gift. And this gift that he gives us is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. In fact, over and over we're told in the New Testament that when we receive this gift of God, of God's Spirit, there's all these other things that come with it. God empowers us to live a life that brings him honor. God awakens our sensitivity to his word and makes us be able to understand more about his Bible, what he's telling us. God's Spirit helps us pray to God, helps us in our communication with him. There's so many roles that God's Spirit plays, so this is an incredible gift when God says, I give you my Spirit. And check out what this word sent, when it says God has sent the Spirit, it means to send as an official representative. To send as an official representative. And so here we have God saying, I want to finalize this transaction, this adoption transaction. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to send you my Holy Spirit as an official representative to lay claim to your heart, to say this heart belongs to God. And so we're given God's Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is present in your heart to give proof of your place in the family of God and to bring you into a personal, intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father. It says that God's Spirit prompts us to call God Abba Father. See, because if we didn't have the prompting of the Spirit of God, we would still be confused about how we're to refer to God, because we would still be struggling with this idea of God adopting us, and the Holy Spirit begins to make sense to us. He begins to communicate this truth to our hearts, and we begin to refer to God as Abba Father. And that means we're drawn into this close, personal, intimate relationship with him. Look at Ephesians 1, verses 13 and 14. It says this, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, which he promised long ago. So God's stamp of identification on your life is God's Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. I love that God gives us his Spirit as proof that we belong to him. I love that. Have you ever purchased something large, like you spent a good chunk of money on something and you didn't get a receipt for it? Probably not. If you have, you're probably kicking yourself. You're like, man, why didn't I get a receipt for that, right? I mean, when we make a huge investment, when we buy something big, we want a receipt. We want proof that we purchased it, right? Or what about this? Have you ever paid a major bill and you're like, can I get a receipt for that? Because there's no way you want to have to pay that thing again, right? I remember paying bills and asking them, can I get a receipt in paper? And then let me give you my email address so you can just email me a receipt. That way I'll have a soft copy, I'll have a hard copy. And then why don't you just put a stamp on my arm that says paid? You know, it's like, I want to guarantee that I'm not going to be paying for that thing again, whatever it is. And God is so invested in this adoption. God is so invested in us becoming his children, that he says, I want to give you proof of that. I want to give you a receipt. I want to give you a guarantee. And he gives us his Holy Spirit. And in addition to being God's proof that we belong to his family, we also receive all the other gifts that come with having God's presence in our lives. It's pretty incredible. The theologian James Smith puts it like this. The Father decreed our adoption. The Son came to redeem us from bondage. And the Holy Spirit takes possession of our hearts, teaching us to call God Father. See how the entire Trinity is involved in this beautiful transaction of God adopting us into his family. That verse we looked at earlier, Romans 8:16. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So God's spirit joins with our spirit so that we can really lay claim to this, that we belong to him. I love the way John MacArthur puts it. He says, the Holy Spirit brings us into a personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, whom we may approach at any time, under any circumstance, knowing that he always hears us and lovingly cares for us because we are truly his own. That's the kind of relationship that we have with the Abba Father. And here's why this is so important for us. Because our understanding of what a father is, we get that from our earthly father. And so if we have a bad example of an earthly father, or we have a disconnect with our earthly father, then our picture of what a father is supposed to be like is a little bit skewed. And maybe you're here in this room this afternoon, maybe you're here and you would be honest and say, yeah, you know what? I don't have a good relationship with my dad. I don't have a good relationship with my father, and therefore, I've always struggled with this idea of God being my father. But here's the thing that I want you to know. That when you are invited, when you are welcomed in to God's family, God is a God that will never leave you. He will never abandon you. He'll take care of you. But he also is a God that's close to you, that draws you in close to him. And whatever affection, whatever closeness you've missed in your life from your father, you're never going to experience anything like the closeness of Abba Father. You're never going to experience anything like this intimacy that you'll experience with God when you begin calling him Abba Father and you begin to recognize these things. See, calling God Abba Father is recognizing his tender love for you and placing your unhesitating trust in him. You know, Jesus talks about a childlike faith. And I've often wondered, you know, what does it mean to have a childlike faith? Because, I mean, children process things a lot differently than adults do. Am I right? I mean, there are some things that kids just really can't grasp the concept of. But I'm always so surprised and shocked when I have a conversation with my son and he gets like an adult concept and he's able to like put it into childlike terms. And I'm like, yeah, that really makes it easy. That makes a lot of sense the way you put it. Here's the thing. There are a lot of complicating things that we don't know about God and that we're probably never going to understand about God, okay? That's all right. That's okay. Because the only faith that God requires is that our faith is childlike. And a childlike faith is trusting and unhesitating. A child runs to his father because he knows that his father, that in his father's arms is love and his care. There's this trust that really can't be duplicated anywhere else except for in a father-son, father-daughter kind of relationship. And that's the kind of trust that God requires of us. So we don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to understand everything about God, but we've got to be able to come to him and put this unhesitating trust in him. So we belong to God. God's spirit is in us. And then here's the last thing that I want you to claim for yourself. And we're going to look at this verse where Jesus himself calls God Abba Father. And the third thing that I want you to take with you for yourself is I am in submission to him. I am in submission to him. Calling God Abba Father means that I'm in submission to him. Look at Mark 14:36. And let me just remind you as we get into this verse. So Jesus understands that he's going to be going to the cross. He understands that in just a few moments, he's going to be arrested and he's going to be taken away. And he's going to be beaten and he's going to be treated like a criminal. He's going to be abused. And eventually he's going to be killed. His life is going to be taken from him. Rather, he lays down his life. So Jesus understands all of what he has to go through, in addition to the physical torment and suffering that he's about to experience. He's also about to experience the one thing that he never has experienced before, and that is separation from God the Father. Because for that moment when Jesus takes the sins of the world upon him, God turns his back on his son. And so Jesus knows that not only is he going to have to suffer, but he's also going to be separated from God the Father. And all of this suffering, this anguish is too much for him to bear. And so when he goes to this garden and he goes to pray, and by the way, when Jesus goes to the garden to pray, he's got his buddies with him, right? And he's like, hey guys, could you just I'm going to go pray. Could you just pray with me and just stay here? And then Jesus goes and he pours his heart out to God and he comes back and his disciples are sleeping. All right, they're snoozing it. They're like, yeah, Jesus, go pray. We'll pray. And they just fall asleep. I'm like, man, what a picture of our response to God when God says, would you just be watchful and pray? And we're just like, yeah, God, we got it. We got this, right? Don't worry about us. So Jesus comes to the garden and he's experiencing all this anguish of knowing what he's about to enter into. And he prays this prayer that is very much a human response. And understand when Jesus is here on the earth that he's 100% God, but he's also 100% man, okay? That's like God math. I know it doesn't make sense to us. We're like, that's 200%. How does that work, right? He's 100% God, so he is still in his entirety God, but he also is 100% human, and so he experiences every human emotion that we experience. Everything that we experience as humans, Jesus has gone through. The book of Hebrews tells us that. And so when he comes to this place in the garden, he actually begins to sweat drops of blood, which is evidence that he's under this incredible stress, okay? It's like a medical thing that happens when you're under incredible stress and the capillaries that are close to the skin break and mingle with the sweat. And so Jesus is under this incredible stress as he prays. And these are the words that he says. He says, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. In other words, this whole situation that I'm about to go into, that I'm about to do, it's entirely possible for you to just say, you know what? I'm calling it off. Everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. So he asks his Father, Abba, Father, if there's any way possible that I don't have to go through this, could you take it away? But then he closes it out with this. He says, yet I want your will to be done, not mine. In other words, my desire to not have to suffer, to not have to go through this, I'm submitting that completely to you. And I'm saying, your will be done. This is, I think, such a powerful moment, probably more powerful than we even realize, because we can't understand the depth of suffering that Jesus is going through, and we can't understand the incredible depth of loyalty that Jesus has to God the Father. We probably can't even begin to scratch the surface of what is going on here. But I do know this, that when Jesus prays this prayer, he refers to God as Abba Father. He refers to God as Abba Father. In other words, he says, God, I'm submitted to you. I'm coming to you, calling you by the most intimate term that I can refer to my Father. But I'm also referring to you as the one that is in authority over me. Man, wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if whatever we're going through, no matter what it is, and I guarantee you're not going to suffer as much as Jesus, but when we go through those moments where things seem terribly dark and terribly painful, if we could pray this prayer to God and say, Abba, Father, if you're willing to take this away from me, let's go that route. But if it's your will, if it's what you want, it's what you desire, if it's what your plan is for me to walk through this, I surrender. I surrender to that. Can you imagine how different our lives would be if instead of fighting with God every step of the way, we said, God, I surrender. I give in. I submit to your authority. I call you Abba, Father. I approach you intimately, but recognizing the authority that you have in my life. Jesus sets the ultimate example for us in how we should call God Abba, Father. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." See, the Bible tells us that same attitude that Jesus took in that garden when he was at the darkest place in his life, that same attitude that he takes, that's the attitude that we need to take. Jesus sets the ultimate example for us. It says this in 1 John 2:6, "Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did." Man, this verse may be one of the most painful things I've read. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. See, we're pretty quick to claim Christianity. We're pretty quick to claim our faith in God, to say, yeah, God is my Abba Father. But we're not so quick to live a life the way Jesus lived. I'm not talking about the sandals. We got that down, right? I'm not talking about serving others, because there are times when we have that down. I'm not talking about being kind to our neighbor, because there's plenty of times where we're kind to our neighbor, right? But I'm talking about trusting God in moments of suffering. I'm talking about putting our faith and our trust in God implicitly when times are darkest for us. That's when it's hard for us to live like Jesus. When it comes to something that we don't want to do, that in our flesh we don't want any part of, and God's saying, this is the plan I have for you, this is the way I want you to walk, this is what I want you to do. That's where it means to live like Jesus. See, calling God Abba Father means that you recognize that along with the privilege of intimacy comes the responsibility of obedience. So we have this beautiful relationship with God the Father, where we have this intimate, close, warm, and tender friendship with him that only can happen between a father and his child. And then we have this responsibility of being obedient and being submissive to God our Father. Those things work in tandem in the Christian life. You can't have one without the other. It's impossible for us to say, God, I want to be close to you, and I want you to be close to me, and not say, God, I want to obey you. I want to do what you want me to do. We have to say those things together. Those things belong together. As a matter of fact, that's why Abba Father is one name, because it's the intimacy and the closeness and the submission and obedience to him. I love what John Calvin says. He says, "Only when we walk in the beauty of God's law do we become sure of our adoption as children of Abba Father." Only when we walk in the beauty of God's law. Why does he say the beauty of God's law? Because the scripture says over and over again that God's law is beautiful. That your word is a beautiful thing. And why is God's word beautiful? Because everything that God has given us, every direction God has given us, every command he's given us, everything he's laid out for us to be obedient to him, it's all for our own good. It's all for our benefit. And we recognize that it's beautiful. It's good when we say no to sin. That not only benefits us, but it brings honor to Jesus. It's good when we decide to do the things that God is calling us to do. It's not only good for us, but it brings honor to the name of Jesus. And so, once again, we're invited in. And I don't know all of your stories. I know your faces, but I don't necessarily know your hearts. And so I don't know where you're at in this. I don't know if you feel distant from God. I don't know if you have a bad example of what a dad is like, and so that's a struggle for you to identify God as your father. I don't know if you've put your faith, your complete faith and your trust in him, and you're enjoying all the blessings of being adopted into God's family. I don't know where you're at along that spectrum. But I do know that for each and every one of you guys in this room, for each and every one of you, God is extending this invitation to be your Abba Father. Whether you've known him for a long time, or whether you just met him, or whether today is a day where you say, I want to complete the adoption process. God is saying, I want to be your Abba Father. Because for some of us, we've kind of been just walking along in our life with God, and we've been doing some things to please God, and we've been doing some things to please ourselves. As if we could do both of those things, and God somehow is going to be okay with that. You know what happens in my home when my son wants to do the things that make him happy and do the things that makes us happy? Like, he wants to do both of those things? He can get hurt. That's usually what happens. He does something unsafe. And for us, the same is true. So I don't know what your relationship like with God is like. I don't know if you're in an intimate relationship with God and you're calling him Abba Father, or whether you are in a relationship with God but you have not reached the point where you recognize that he's inviting you into a tender, loving place, but also he's demanding submission.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.